From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. An Indonesian in Malaysia donating food to workers every day. Indonesian government to intensify labor-intensive infrastructure projects. Now the news in details. An Indonesian housewife residing in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia has been distributing 25 lunch boxes to Indonesian migrant workers affected by the coronavirus pandemic in the city every day since April 1, 2020. Escorted by Taranus agency, Vivi explained on Wednesday, she has won her husband's support for the food-sharing program and she plans to help migrant workers and volunteers during the imposition of the Malaysian government's nationwide movement control order policy. Vivi, a resident of the Subang Jaya neighborhood, stated that she is delivering 25 lunch boxes to volunteers for COVID-19 social activism programs, or Indonesian migrant workers appointed by the Indonesian National Youth Committee. Vivi moved from Batam City, Riau Island Province to Malaysia in July 2019 to accompany her husband, who is employed with an oil and gas company. She said she decided to prepare more food for lunch so she and her family could share it with others. The Indonesian government will intensify manpower-intensive infrastructure projects in different parts of Indonesia to offer employment to members of the low-income community to maintain their purchasing powers amid the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Public Works and Housing Minister Basuki Hadimulyono said in a statement received by Antara on Wednesday. In addition, manpower-intensive infrastructure projects are also aimed at boosting economic growth and distributing funds to villages and rural areas. Furthermore, he explained, in implementing these labor-intensive infrastructure projects to maintain the purchasing power of people from the low-income group and to reduce unemployment, the social distancing measures will consistently be imposed to contain the COVID-19 outbreak. To this end, the Public Works and Housing Ministry will expedite the realization of this year's labor-intensive projects, financing cash in 34 provinces across Indonesia. With a total budget of 10 trillion rupiah, the projects cover 7 programs, including the Irrigation System Accelerated Program, Socio-Economic Regional Infrastructure Development Program, and Reduce, Reuse, and Recycled Waste Management Sites. The head of the World Health Organization, WHO, has urged unity as the agency comes under continued fire from U.S. President Donald Trump. Speaking on Wednesday, Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus defended the WHO works and called for an end to the politicizations of COVID-19. As quoted by BBC.com, Donald Trump said he would consider ending U.S. funding for the UN agency. The president accused the WHO of being very China-centric and said they really blew their pandemic response. After first attacking the WHO on Tuesday, President Trump renewed his criticism at his press briefing on Wednesday, saying the organization must get its priorities right. He said the U.S. would conduct a study to decide whether the U.S. could continue paying contribution. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Global trade could plummet by a third this year due to the coronavirus pandemic, the World Trade Organization said on Wednesday, warning the deepest recession of our lifetimes could be on the horizon. As quoted by AFP.com, WTO Chief Roberto Azevedo told reporters in virtual briefing from Geneva that COVID-19 has completely upended the global economy and with it international trade. He said the global trade body was projecting that trade in 2020 will fall steeply in every region of the world and basically across all sectors of the economy. The WTO acknowledged that there was huge uncertainty around how the economic crisis around the pandemic, which has infected more than 1.4 million people globally and killed nearly 83,000, would unfold, stressing that the situation was first and foremost a health crisis. Azevedo warned that the unavoidable declines in trade and output will have painful consequences for households and businesses on top of the human suffering caused by the disease itself. French said Wednesday it would extend a lockdown aimed at slowing the spread of the coronavirus as the death toll soared across Europe and the US. An expert warned the looming global recession could be the worst in decades. As quoted by AFP.com, governments are grappling with how to balance public safety against the devastating economic impact of stay-at-home orders that have erased millions of jobs in a matter of weeks. More than 80,000 people worldwide have died in the virus crisis, which has sent the global economy spiraling and forced billions of people to remain at home as much as possible. As the economic downturn starts for a bite, health experts stress that any premature loosening of restrictions could accelerate the spread of a contagion that has already infiltrated nearly every country. More than 80,000 people worldwide have died in the virus crisis, which has sent the global economy spiraling and forced billions of people to remain at home as much as possible. All 21 members of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, APEC, have responded to the ongoing coronavirus disease 2019 pandemic by offering fiscal supports to small and medium enterprises. As stated by Taranus Agency on Wednesday, within the APEC region, 16 economies have made announcements specifying the forms of support to be extended to the smaller and medium enterprises. The supports to small and medium enterprises entailed lending or financing facilities catering exclusively to small and medium enterprises, providing low interest loans, as well as introducing loan guarantees and loan payment moratoriums, implementing moratoriums on rental and utilities payments, providing temporary wage subsidies, usually covering up to 3 months of wages, as well as implementing tax deferrals and tax refunds. A Saudi Arabian-led coalition fighting Houthi forces in Yemen has declared a ceasefire, according to officials. Source told the BBC the ceasefires will come into effect on Thursday in support of UN efforts to end the 5-year-old war. As quoted by BBC.com, the coalition backed by Western military powers has been fighting against Houthi forces aligned to Iran since March 2015. It's unclear if the Houthi forces will also observe the ceasefires. Last month, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called on those in Yemen to cease fighting and ramped up efforts to counter a potential outbreak of the coronavirus. He called on the parties in the country to work with his special envoy Martin Griffiths to achieve the nationwide de-escalation. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Here's commentary for today, titling Indonesia's Global Bond Records History. When the world is in slowdown and threatened by economic recession because of COVID-19 pandemic, Indonesia successfully recorded a history in the global bond sales divided in three stages. Besides, the 50-year payment tenor in one of the stages was the longest in history of Indonesian global bond. Global bond is an international bond or government securities issued by a country in foreign exchange and traded abroad. Different from donor countries' debt, global bond is not binding like an official loan, where the allocation had been determined. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani said, Indonesian government issued the global bond amounting to $4.3 billion, and the first stage issues was released on Monday evening. The bond will be used for COVID-19 handling and recovery. In the statement on Tuesday, Minister Sri Mulyani affirmed that the global bond issuance by Indonesia is currently the biggest and the first one in Asia to be issued since COVID-19 pandemic in February 2020. Meanwhile, Governor of Bank Indonesia Periwarjio said, in the global bond issuance success, Indonesian government reflected market trust for Indonesia amid global economic uncertainty due to COVID-19. Meanwhile, financial observers welcome it and assess that efforts by Indonesian government was good and well-received by markets in terms of financial stability and foreign exchange. A financial observer, Fikri C. Permana, said the bond issuance had given more space for 2020 state budget and will give stability for rupiah as well as liquidity for domestic financial markets. The issuance of Indonesia's global bond in the international market and the high interest of many people from the international community indicate that Indonesia is one of the potential that should not be underestimated, because the market would not look at or buy Indonesian debt securities if Indonesia's condition was promising. Previously in January 2020, Indonesia also had issued bond in dollar and euro, which was positively welcomed by the market. With such positive response by the world for Indonesian economic performance in form of global bonds purchases, stakeholders and policymakers in Indonesia must go fast and keep improving performance with orientation to building people's economy, which is stronger in facing recession, just like in previous crises in Indonesia. That was commentary. I'm Nuku Kusmawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, meet again with me, Ahmad Faisal, in our regular program, Today in History, over the Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event that Indonesian Air Force was commemorated on April 9, 1946. Indonesian Air Force TNI AU is part of Indonesia military, which is responsible on state's defense operation in the air. Earlier, the TNI AU was part of Indonesian Army with the name the People's Security Army. The Indonesian Air Force was established on April 9, 1946, along with the establishment of the Army of the Republic of Indonesia as continuation of the development of the Air Force. This was based on the government's decision number 6, SD 1946. The change cannot be separated from the Indonesian government's era in fighting for its independence from the Dutch. Thus, Indonesia has needed the Air Force assisted by Indonesian Army and police to defend state's dignity. So on every April 9th, the Indonesian Air Force is commemorated as historical moment of the change of the People's Security Army of the Aviation Bureau to become the Indonesian Air Force. The next event is that in 2001, President Abdurrahman Wahid permitted Chinese New Year to be celebrated by its followers. In Indonesia, during the government's new regime since 1968 until 1999, Chinese descendants were prohibited to celebrate Chinese New Year to public. This was based on the instruction of President No. 14/1967, which was issued by Indonesian second President Suharto, who prohibited all Chinese events, including Chinese New Year. But under the government of the fourth President, Abdurrahman Wahid, Chinese descendants in Indonesia have been permitted to celebrate Chinese New Year, beginning in 2000. Thus, the fourth President Abdurrahman Wahid officially revoked the instruction of the President No. 19/2001 on April 9, 2001, which inaugurated Chinese New Year as facultative holiday. This means that it is valid only for them to enjoy holiday for the celebration. Then, since 2002, Chinese New Year has been officially declared as national holiday by the fifth president, Megawati Soekarnoputri, until now. And the last event is that in 2009, general elections of the House of Representatives, Regional Representatives Council, Regional House of Representatives were implemented. General elections of the House of Representatives, Regional Representatives Council, Regional House of Representatives, so-called Legislative General Election 2009, were implemented to vote 560 members of the House of Representatives, 132 members of Regional Representative Councils, and members of Regional House of Representatives, Regional House of Representative or Regional City House of Representative throughout Indonesia for the period 2009 until 2014. The vote was implemented simultaneously on April 9, 2009. The general election of the members of the House of Representatives was implemented by an open proportional system whose calculations were based on a number of electoral districts with electoral participants of political parties. This election was conducted for the first time by the determination of the elected candidate based on the most votes instead of the serial number of candidate members, which was determined by political parties. The general election of members of the House of Representatives 2009 was The House of Representatives 2009 was participated by 38 political parties. Well, listener, that was today in history.
Saat bersamamu begitu lalapnya, aku pun terbuai. Sebenarnya aku telah berharap ku kan memiliki dirimu selamanya. Yakini cinta takkan berakhir, namun takdir menuliskan gagal, kita harus berakhir. Segenap hatiku luluh lantak mengiringi dukaku yang kehilangan dirimu. Mampu tuk meredam kepedihan hatiku untuk merelakan kepergianmu.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, Handling Medical Waste of COVID-19 Patients with Carefully. Waste policy expert from the Healthcare Without Harm organization, Ruth Stinger, sees a trend in the increasing use of disposable plastics currently. When many countries in the world are facing an outbreak of COVID-19, medical waste of COVID-19 patients' care must be handled carefully through sorting waste and rubbish from its source and processing with autoclaves or high-pressure pans that is more environmentally friendly, as stated by Ruth Stinger on Friday in an online discussion organized by non-profit organizations engaged in the promotion of environmentally friendly medical processes. Stinger said that excessive use of plastic in the practice of processing medical waste is better avoided. Using two plastic bags to wrap waste should not be done. It is better to use containers with thick material and tightly closed to avoid leakage. He said his organization had talked with people involved in handling waste management during the SARS outbreak, Ebola, swine flu, and so on. They said there is no need to overact. The right action will help by managing the waste. Ruth Stinger also suggested to avoid excessive use of incinerators that are not environmentally friendly because it can produce pollutants into the air. According to him, this is one of the ways to process waste that contributes pollution and is the most expensive. Incineration process or combustion of inappropriate health material waste will produce pollutants into the air, and combustion of material with heavy metal content can also cause the spread of toxic metals to the environment. Therefore, the more environmentally friendly solution is by using a steam-based technology such as an autoclave or a high-pressure pan that uses a sterilization system. This method can eliminate the infectious nature of the waste before it is put into a container to be stored and processed in the storage of hazardous and toxic waste, or B3. And listener, that was my Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to introduce you Plaosan Temple in Central Java. Plaosan Temple is ancient building complex which consists of Plaosan Lower Temple and Plaosan Kidul Temple. Plaosan Temple is a Buddhist temple and expected to be built in the Rakai Pikatan era of Hindu Mataram Kingdom in the 9th century. In the Sri Kahulunan inscription, it stated that Plaosan Lower Temple was built by Queen Sri Kahulunan, who was supported by his husband, Rakai Pikatan. Plaosan Lower Temple has two main temples. The temple which is located at the north side called North Main Temple with relief which describes women figures, while Plaosan Lower Temple at the south called South Main Temple with relief describing men figures. At the north of the complex, there is opened hallway with some Buddha statues. The two main temples have six Dhyani Bodhisattva status. Although the temple is Buddhist temple, its styles are made in combining between Buddhist and Hindu styles. Local people surrounding Plaosan Temple usually hold Twin Temple Festival annually. The festival is the only one large-scale cultural festival that is held in Klaten. Entering the temple is free of charge. You only have to fill the guest book. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Plaosan Temple in Central Java. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Mampu mencuri hatiku, aku pun
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on UI students create application to detect COVID-19 virus. A lot of hoax appears amid coronavirus pandemic COVID-19. It makes students of University of Indonesia create an application to accommodate information related to COVID-19 in Indonesia. As effort to independently detect the risk and to avoid the development of the hoax, a number of students of Medical Faculty and Computer Science Faculty of University of Indonesia collaborated to create a platform of risk assessment COVID-19 provider, namely EndCorona. EndCorona can be accessed through endcorona.fk.ui.ac.id or endcorona.id. EndCorona is completed with various kinds of features which assist people in facing COVID-19 pandemic in Indonesia. One of the features is assessment feature to know self-condition on the risk of COVID-19. The assessment can be used to group users according to their vulnerability with the COVID-19, with low, cautious, vulnerable, and very vulnerable risk category. The assessment was based on an in-depth study of the Medical Faculty of University of Indonesia, Cipto Mangunkusumo Hospital Advisory Team, from trusted scientific journals and evidence-based national and international recommendations. EndCorona also presents as information and educational channel to assist people finding the right knowledge based on medical science, giving information, updated situation, and avoiding hoax on COVID-19. Through the application, people can be aware of the risk of being exposed with COVID-19 and act appropriately with their vulnerability. That was Miss Lenny for today. Thanks for listening.
Mencintaiku walau bintang. bintangku tak terang. Cintailah aku sepenuh hati sesungguhnya. Aku tak ingin kau pergi, takkan mampu ku hadapi dunia ini. Betapa pernah sama bila kau tinggalkanku. Tetaplah di sini, saling memiliki selama-lamanya. Cinta saat ku jatuh nanti. Menangis sepi,
menangis sepi.
Cintailah aku sepenuh hati sesungguhnya. Aku tak ingin kau pergi.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Music Corner. Today's edition will present you a song by Club Project. Club Project is Indonesian music group which formed by Katon Bagaskara as vocalist, bassist, guitarist, Lilo or Romulo Rajadin as guitarist and vocalist, Adi Adrian as keyboardist and piano player, and Ari Burhani as the drummer in 1986. The name Kla itself is taken from initials of this band's personnel, while the small a is to indicate that there were two personnel who have the initials of the font. The unique thing about Club Project lies on its works. They present their songs with poetic lyrics and literary nuances, such as in the song Terpurukku di sini in the Ungu album 1994. The word tersaput means closed. Meanwhile, palung is a chasm at the bottom of the sea, which then makes the phrase menggigil palung hati can be interpreted to feel shivering to the deepest heart. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Terpurukku di sini by Club Project.
Terpurukku di sini.
Voice of Indonesia.
Be
All right, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at VOI Indonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.